Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live tonight from Glastonbury in the English countryside. This is such a beautiful area of the world, and I'm so happy to be here. And through the magic of Skype, this audio is being retransmitted to the studios of KKNW on 1150 a.m. in beautiful Bellevue in Seattle, Washington, in the United States. Glastonbury is the most sacred spiritual site in the United Kingdom, and so it's a very special place, and I'm so happy to be here broadcasting from here tonight. I also want to apologize to all my friends around the world for the poor sound quality of my show from a week ago Friday on May 18th. I'm in a much better place tonight, and the audio quality of this show should be much better. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. During the first hour, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be having on Simon Parks to talk about all kinds of out of this world topics. If you'd like to, I have quite a few questions I've received from my listeners. And if you'd like to send Simon a question, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We'll try to answer all the questions. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing a really amazing psychic named Carol Noonan, who's been in contact with the Pleiadians for decades. If there's time, I'll also have another lady named Paz Clark, who had an amazing UFO experience recently here in England. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can and will create a much better and happier world. I also have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. The show is also available on YouTube, and there's now a tab at the top of my radio website at www.outofthisworld1150.com for all of my TV shows, so you can watch all of the shows easily. We have had some technical difficulties with the recent shows, so please be patient. We hope to get those all on within the next 2 weeks. I also want to thank everyone around the world who supported the show. Specifically, I'd like to thank Frederick, Tricia, Evelyn, Margaret, Rachel, and Marie, as well as Life Force Solutions, for their wonderful contributions. I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including Crystal Spirit Spiritual Center in Tacoma, Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer from Florida, and many others who've supported the show. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW and Eric Ryder and Eric Kramer, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in contact with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States toll free at 1-888-879-8339. That's a number good for United States and Canada, or at 509-750-9793. I also believe in the power of prayer and intention, and I'd like to ask everyone today to please send lots of love and light to Carol and her wonderful family for the passing of her father last year, as well as to Michiko Hayashi and her mother, Misako, in Japan. She had a stroke last year, and I know that sending them your love and light will really help. Also, if you missed my Galactic Wisdom Conference back in March, you can order the audios and some videos for the conference for just $97. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My next conference, the Galactic Wisdom Conference, will be held in the same location in Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And for more information, please see our website at galacticwisdomconference.com. It has a lot of the old information. We'll be updating it soon. We already have a lot of speakers lined up for next year as well. If you register early, the entire conference just costs $55. This is a special, so please take advantage of it. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, this summer, from July 2nd to the 8th, and September 6th to the 11th, 2018. I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring spiritual trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for the last several years, and this is a wonderful opportunity to visit Telos and the Hollow Earth. However, if you're interested, please first send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me, and I'll be happy to tell you all the requirements. One of the things that the Telosians like to do is to tell people not to eat any meat, especially 3 weeks before coming. I can explain more when we talk. At Shasta, we always see lots of Sasquatch and UFOs flying around the mountain, and it's really amazing and beautiful place. We always have an incredible time there. Last year in September, there was a lady, her name's Tammy from Minnesota, and she came on the trip, and she'd been crippled for decades. This is a true story, by the way. And so when she was camping one night at Mount Shasta, a group of Sasquatch surrounded her vehicle where she was sleeping, and they asked her if she'd like to get her legs healed. And she said yes. And so what happened the next moment, she was beamed aboard a UFO craft from the Hollow Earth. The people there healed her legs, put her back into her van, and the next morning she was running around like crazy around our campsite, and everybody was astounded because we wondered what had happened to her. Well, it wasn't anything bad. It was the first time in probably 30 years she'd been able to walk. So miracles like that do happen. I can't promise you it'll happen on this trip, but it has happened before. The cost per person is only $200, and if you're interested, please send me an email. Now, I'd love to go to my friend Simon Parks, and we're both in England. Simon, are you there today?
Hello, Ted. Yes, I am.
Boy, you sound crystal clear. It's almost like you're right with me here in Glostonbury. How are you doing today? Maybe you are.
I'm fine. I'm fine, thanks, Ted. It's great. I'm glad you're in the UK. And it's really nice that the communications are strong enough. And I'm just hoping that the messages are getting beamed back to the States. You're right. We did have a bit of trouble over the last week or so with the technology, but I think it sounds much better today.
I've asked for galactic help tonight, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance say that there's ships above us right now, and they are helping us. And I've also asked for the Pleiadians to come in, too. I have my second hour is Carol Noonan, and she's been in contact with the Pleiadians for decades. And I also put a request into her. I asked her this afternoon for Pleiadian help as well to secure good communications tonight. And it's coming in very clear, very, very clear, without any problems. So anyway, this is a good sign. This is a good sign.
Great.
Well, last week when we spoke, we talked about a little bit about the high school shooting in Santa Fe, and also a little bit about North Korea. And there's been some new developments. I've had several people. We have quite a few emails, actually, questions. But let me ask you first to be polite, Simon. What would you like to talk about tonight? I'm before I go into the questions here.
I try to be American-centric when dealing with you, Ted, because, you're dealing with North America, so North America, Canada, I think is important. However, I think one of the things, I was just chatting, had a connecting consciousness meeting with my coordinators just an hour or so ago, and I was just alerting them to the situation in Turkey, and it's not a violent situation, thank goodness. This is an economic situation. They appear to be going through a bit of a potential meltdown on the economy side, in terms of the interest rates, in terms of the strength of their foreign currency. They've had meetings with Deutsche Bank and a couple of other banks, and I think it's just worthwhile. Although, of course, listeners and viewers in the US might think, well, what does it matter to me whether anything happens in Turkey?
Sure.
It does matter, simply because it's like a domino effect. If one country suffers some form of economic depression, that domino falls and hits the next country, and so on and so forth. So it's important that I think your audience can just double check that, just spend 2 or 3 minutes just trying to get the news from abroad. So just keep an eye on Turkey. That seems to be going through a difficult situation at the moment. So that's really all I wanted to say, and I'm happy to go on to the questions and subject matter that's close to your heart.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Simon. Well, you know, it's very interesting you mentioned that, because I had a psychic on my show, an astrologist actually named Susan Miller from New York City. It's been about, that was in 2000, it's been about 4 years now. And she said that this is a time of truth, that things that are true will become even truer, and those that are false will become, show themselves to be false and fall by the wayside. And that included governments, economic systems, individuals, corporations, you name it. And maybe Turkey is in this part. I've never felt very comfortable about the world economic system. You probably know some good examples of countries which are run well and they don't have economic problems, but it seems like all the countries of the world have some economic problems. And I've never felt that the economy of the world, and the countries especially, have been very sustainable, especially when you look at all the pollution and all the damage we've done to poor Mother Earth.
Over the last few days, and indeed last weekend, chatting to people who have been to Asia, and the stories they come back with, just the amount of plastic, whether that's in carrier bags, carry-alls, or whether it's wrappings, it's just unbelievable. Some of these countries that don't have the laws or don't have the interest to clean this up, it's absolutely disgraceful the amount of pollution there is. And of course, it's a worldwide issue. We can't just blame one country or one group of people.
Sure.
That's something that we've lost over the last few years. It was a very hot topic in the 80s and in the 90s and the early 2000s. Then it sort of disappeared as people chased dollars or new technology. But I think it's something that needs to come back onto the agenda. The planet could be cleaned up. Not for too much. I mean, the problem is people say how expensive it is to do the cleanup operations.
Right.
But I suppose the point I would say is, well, how much do you love the Earth? Can you put a price on it? So I think that's something, Ted, that I think we do need perhaps to focus on, that we've taken the eye off the ball a little bit and the planet needs a bit of help.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, Mother Earth is tired of people assaulting her, polluting her, abusing her, and she can strike back. And I think that's certainly an important point. But the other point, too, Simon, is that we're all very, very powerful spiritual beings. And we can turn around. I know we can turn this situation around and clean up planet Earth. That's one of the things that Masaru Emoto showed before he passed away in 2014, is that with our thoughts alone, we can clean up Fukushima. We can clean up pollution. We can clean up oil in the Gulf of Mexico that happened years ago. Dr. Emoto showed with his experiments that if you take a bottle, for example, of radioactive water from a nuclear power plant, that just with the words love and gratitude or your positive thoughts on that bottle of water, you can clean up all that radiation completely, and it doesn't cost a dime.
And I suppose that's why it's such a threat. If you are able to bring about great change very cheaply, then of course there are certain organizations that will lose out. And you just have to think about some of the great people in history who have invented wonderful machines only to see them locked away in a vault or a safe, never to see the light of day. And that's part of the great awakening and the consciousness that humanity will, not in a violent way, but will demand to have released to it its birthright, those things that will make our lives easier, but allow us to still have a really good life, but not to injure or pollute the animals or the trees or the atmosphere.
I have to tell you this story, Simon, and I think you'll enjoy hearing it. Every time I go to the gas station in America or you know, if you fill up here with petrol here in the United Kingdom, I don't know how you feel, but I always feel it's extortion. Whatever you pay for your petrol or gasoline, you're paying for energy that it doesn't give me a good feeling at all supporting the oil companies. And yet the oil companies and some governments do everything they can to stop innovative technology and the use of free energy, so we don't need to use fossil fuels like petroleum-based products.
Well, you know what, Ted? There are some skeptics out there who say that there's no such thing as free energy. But if you stand out in the street and you obviously you don't want to look at the sun with your eyes because you get hurt, but you close your eyes, you feel the sun's heat on your face.
Right.
You didn't have to pay for that. That's free energy. And right. The reality is that all of this should be free, but somebody had the bright idea to have a monopoly, to own it, because you can only do that on this planet, to own right. it and then charge or rent out for other people to share what you've owned. And that's the whole concept of control on this planet. Taking something that was originally given as free and taking it and saying, I own this, this is mine, but if you want a piece of it, you've got to pay me for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's fundamentally wrong, that an individual has the right to control something that was originally free for all.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, this is one topic that we could talk hours about, Simon, but I know that back in, it was 1957 when a gentleman named Daniel Thor visited Eisenhower, President Eisenhower at the time, and he offered free energy technology and help in getting rid of all disease and poverty on this planet. In exchange for us, I'm trying to remember all the details. Eisenhower was in favor of it. Tricky Dick Nixon, the vice president back then, was against it because he had a lot of doctors and friends in the oil companies, and he was afraid that they would all lose their jobs. So he was against it. Plus, Tricky Dick Nixon wanted weapons, and Valiant Thor, all he could offer was peace and harmony and a beautiful planet where we would eradicate disease and get rid of the need for weapons. Anyway, that was, I remember that story. Also, Nikola Tesla, also back in the 19th century, he actually invented free energy that he said could be used by humanity for the entire planet. But I believe Westinghouse, J.P. Morgan was against it because they wanted to meter it and make money off of it. So there have been historical examples of people who tried in the past, and even extraterrestrial civilizations who've tried to help us with free energy and getting rid of disease, but they've been turned back every time for the sake of money.
I think there was a demonstration, if I remember rightly, Tesla was demonstrating how power could be sent from one unit, one box, to another
right.
without any cables. And there was a device to measure that the frequency of the power was coming through. Mm-hmm. And this group from Westinghouse and whoever else stood there, and they conferred, came into a huddle and conferred, and then the spokesman stepped forward and said to Tesla, "Yes, but where's the meter?"
Yeah,
that's exactly right. What happened. And when he said, and I quote, "There is no meter, this is free for everybody,"
mm-hmm.
that was his death sentence, because at that moment they realized that was the end of the stock and share market for power. So
sure.
what a lot of people do actually is they try and buy it out, and then they just take the patent and lock it away for 100 years.
Right.
That's their preferred option. If that doesn't work, then they try and get rid of the person who's invented it.
I don't know too much about this field. I know there's probably people out there who do know about it, but back in the late 80s, early 90s here in the United States, there was a fellow named Stan Meyer, and he invented what's called a water car that ran on water. And in 1992 or 4, he met with some alleged Belgium investors, and they ended up poisoning him and killing him. And you don't hear about that anymore. And I know that also in Sweden during World War II, they actually had water-powered cars, Simon, that ran off of wood and anything else they could burn in their engine. It was like small steam engines. And because Sweden couldn't get any oil, all the routes were blocked by by the World War II, and so you hear about those things. And where are they today? You know, we just don't. They're just gone. I don't know where they are. They're hidden, but I hope someday they'll be resurrected.
In this country, some 20 years ago, there was a real movement for driving your car on used oil that you had fried your chips in. Now, that may sound crazy to some people, but that's actually what was going on. People were collecting up their oil that they'd fried their chips in. I don't know how popular that is in other countries, but in Great Britain, frying your chips is a really big thing. And what gave the game away was the exhaust fumes coming out of these cars smelt very much like chips. The reason that the system came down on them very heavily and gave them prison sentences well in excess of what the crime was, not because they were turning their communities into chip frying ovens, but because they were not paying tax, because they were not buying gas, and because they were using old kitchen oil, old oil from chips, which they'd already legally bought. They couldn't be done for stealing, but they were done for, not paying this tax business. So it's all about money, Ted, and it's all right. About just a very few individuals. And I've never understood how a planet of 5, 6, 7, 8 billion, however many of us there are here, how is it that the number of people who run the planet would fit into a jumbo jet? I never quite understood how 8 billion people right. allowed a jumbo jet full of people to run the planet.
Well, I that's an incredible statement. And I can't agree with you more, Simon. I don't know either. Even with respect to the United States, I mean, I was in London a couple of days ago, and I wear a small little memorial button of JFK. He was born in 1917, and the 100th anniversary of his assassination, or actually no, his birth was 2017, last year. And there was an English gentleman who came up to me, was selling newspapers, and he said, what is that button you're wearing? And I said, it's a John F. Kennedy button commemorating his birth, 100-year birth. And he said, it wasn't much of a celebration in the U.S. last year, wasn't it? And I stopped for a minute and I said, you know, you're right. Nothing in our controlled media did mention much about the 100th anniversary of his birth. And it kind of made, and he asked me, I mean, with all due respect, he said, what's wrong with you Americans? Like, why don't you wake up? I mean, I guess that you could say that for the whole world, but that's the reason why I have my radio show, is to try to wake the world up. And I know you do the same thing, Simon.
We do, and so do many others. What's interesting, the only individuals that are promoted through the mainstream are those individuals who are either controlled by the elite, manipulated by the elite, or who are blindly following a program which reinforces the status quo. Now, you know, if you type onto Google and in the header page, they usually promote somebody's birth or somebody's death. And this will be an individual who I'm sure in many occasions or cases, he or she has done very good works. But all of the people that the Google and the establishment want to remind you it's their anniversary are all right. people who have been part of the system. They'll never right. promote people who challenge the system, no matter whether you challenge it in a critical, friendly, critical, supportive way. If right. you are not spouting the exact same tune or hymn, you will not get any coverage from the establishment.
Well, I have to tell you that when I wear my button of JFK's 100th anniversary of his birth, whether that be in Canada or the United States or where I am now in the United Kingdom, I get stopped. People see Jack Kennedy's face and they ask me about him, and they say still that he was either the greatest or one of the greatest presidents the United States has ever had. And we wish we had that kind of energy back. And even though the mass media ignores him, like they did last year on the 100th anniversary of his birth, the sentiment is still there. I've gotten that same kind of response in Vancouver, Canada, Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, London, England. It's the same kind of response. The public out there is still wants that kind of positive, forward-thinking energy of how to create a much better and happier planet. People want that nowadays. We're sick and tired. Most people are sick and tired of war. They're sick and tired of fighting, and they're very tired of being lied to, whether that be by a government or by so-called mass media.
I'm totally right, 100% right. I think the interesting thing is that the effect of John F. Kennedy on the world mm-hmm. was very much like the Twin Towers. These mm-hmm. are two icons that mm-hmm. won't go away. Right. People recognize. And, you know, what the establishment like to call conspiracy theory, I can't remember what it's called, the Zephyr film, the original altered film of the shooting of JFK. Right. Now, anybody who's woken up, anybody who's trying to learn the truth will have seen at some point that film. And so they are connected to the concept of JFK. And I'm actually not surprised if you go around with a badge, people will be drawn to it, and right. they feel they've got to speak. They have to say something, and that's because it's one of those key moments in Earth's history.
That's right, and I've been stopped by people on the street, no matter where I am in the world, and that's something. Even in Japan, I was in Japan a couple of years ago, and I was stopped on the street in Tokyo too, and people came up to me politely. They mentioned the same thing. So there's a lot. There's something going on this planet, and I know that people are really waking up, Simon. And you're helping to do that. That's why I'm so happy you could come on today. And thanks to my galactic friends and Pleiadian friends, we've got great communications tonight. Crystal clear.
It is good. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I think I'll ask my galactic friends to come in and protect me on every show. So we have good crystal clear communications. I wanted to ask you, Simon, we've got a whole bunch of questions who've come in. I'm trying to pick out a good one. I think I asked you about this last week about the high school shooting in Santa Fe. I don't know. I look at these shootings in the United States as a bunch of false flags. There's often more than one individual involved, but it's amazing how the mass media said there's only just one person involved, even though that there might be more than one person involved. We have another question about the volcanic activity on the Big Island. I know that we're headed into a time where there's going to be tremendous earth changes. Do your sources say anything about the volcanic activity in Hawaii, Simon?
Well, you remember a few shows back, you were talking about Hawaii and the aborted missile attack.
Yes, I do.
And this is linked. I want you to see this as linked. For some reason, somebody, as we have a saying in England, which is got it in for you, which means they're trying to get you. Somebody.
Oh, I see.
Got it in for Hawaii in the same way they had it in for Japan. Now, the aborted missile attack in Hawaii and the outpourings of lava from the underground well, if you like, in Hawaii, I want you to see them in the same way, because the outpourings of lava have been artificially created, or at least it's direction has been artificially caused. So what I don't know yet is what it is about Hawaii that certain people who are not very good, what it is, why Hawaii? I'm wondering if it's the last state in the US, it's not part of the mainland, and if you wanted to send a message to President Trump, then one of the ways would be to attack an American state, but not actually attack the homeland, not attack the mainland. So it could be quite simple as that. But there is skullduggery going on here. This is not a natural event, and the two are linked.
Well, my friends listening around the world, you heard it first from Simon now, and he's been absolutely spot on his on his other predictions, including North Korea about a month ago, well before the mass media and the cartoon channel in the United States picked up that story. I say that with a little bit tongue in cheek because the cartoon channel now in the United States has more viewers than CNN does, because people don't like the news. Do you remember the Florida shooting a few months ago, Simon?
Yes.
Where it was at, I remember, I think you're the one that told me about it, where the name of the school was, the school itself was named after a Florida environmentalist who was against draining the swamp in the Everglades.
That's right. That's right.
And yeah. So this was an indirect, you said this was an indirect message to, direct or indirect message to President Trump not to drain the swamp. I thought that was very clever.
I think it was indirect for the general public, but it was a very direct for those who are in the know. And this is the thing I want your audience to understand, that President Trump is not the most powerful man in America. Mm-hmm. President Trump is the most powerful man in government. There is a huge difference. We call it, as an ex-politician, we call it having office. You have office. You never, ever have power. And the point is that the people in power give the politicians office. And what that means is they say, here's your parameters. You can operate between here and here, and you have no right to operate outside of that box. So there's a big difference between being a president of the United States and actually having power. And that's why I'm making a point here. I want people to understand that, that President Trump actually doesn't have the power to stop these false flags. It's not his men doing it. This is a total group which is totally separate from any of the official arms of government. And you know, this is the concept that ordinary people can't understand. They can't grasp how it is that a government can have this thing going on under its nose and not do anything about it.
Sure, right. It's amazing, really. I think that's what President Kennedy ran into, too, when he was assassinated, certainly, that he ran up against some very negative elements within the U.S. government, within the country, who had him assassinated.
Yes, we don't want to go too long on that, because there must be lots of questions. But basically,
yeah, there are.
There's a lot of people who say to me it was the alien agenda or the UFO agenda that got Kennedy killed. That's not true. Mm-hmm. There was one of the aspects, but the real point that the establishment would like everyone to believe it was the alien agenda, it wasn't. President Kennedy was on the verge of doing something to the Federal Reserve. He was on the verge of changing the way that the Federal Reserve operated. And that was the final straw for certain people. And I will say this now, that it was not the CIA that had anything to do with the demise of Kennedy. It was the FBI. And isn't it strange that here we are again all these years later, and it's not the CIA causing Trump the problem, it is the FBI. It was the CIA that leaked information to WikiLeaks. It wasn't the Russians. The Russians had nothing to do with it. It was CIA, America's own arm of protection, who didn't want the Clintons. And so they leaked stuff. So through history, it seems to be the FBI that is the most disloyal to the Constitution. Now, that's a very powerful thing for me to say, but the history shows that. And if you look at the number of people that President Trump has removed from the Edgar Hoover building, here's the facts. There have been more people removed from the Edgar Hoover building than from the NSA under this president's tenure of office. And that tells us a great deal. And I think, and I'll put another prediction here.
Okay.
I'm not going to name names and make anything difficult for anybody, but there are two individuals in the FBI who are probably going to be moved this year. When they are moved, what do you call it, set up to grass, have a promotion, then we might begin to see some real movement. But at the moment, it's the FBI that are causing the problem.
Interesting. Well, you heard it first on my show, everyone around the world. And Simon, you've always been accurate before, and I appreciate your honesty in sharing that with us. I have a couple more questions that have come in. Do you mind if I ask them, Simon?
Sure. I'm happy to do it.
Okay. There's a couple of them that are like grouped in this kind of the same thing, and then there's one personal question. I'll do the personal question quick, and then go on to the group questions. The one personal question is that fellow named Jerry, no last names, had a strange dream where he was driving a car, and then he hit something and went through the windshield. He doesn't remember anything. Is this a premonition of something that could happen in the future, and how to avoid it? Have you had clients like that who've told you premonition dreams?
Yes, it's usually not to get on certain flights. Right. If someone's had a dream like that, my advice is to get lots of bits of paper and write out the dream and draw it. Absolutely draw it with colouring crayons, with sticks. Draw it out.
Okay. Colour,
and then try to relive it, because what we're looking for here is any indication of time, of location, the type of car, so that if it appears to be the same vehicle that you have, then mm-hmm. you know that's in this time frame. Mm. Look and see, do you remember anything through the window? Was it fall? Was it summer? Was it winter? Try and understand that. If it's a premonition, it's been given to you for a reason. If it's past life, it can't be too far past life, because we're talking about a motor car. It could be a different life. So to be positive on this, if you have that, excuse me, then it's for a reason. So do what I've suggested and see if you can get some idea of when this happened. But don't disregard it. Take it, treat it seriously. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Simon. And that I appreciate that. Thank you for mentioning that. We have a bunch of questions. Let me see. I have another one. I have several questions on cryptocurrencies. The gentleman Prasad, hi Prasad. He writes, some months ago, Simon, you mentioned cryptocurrencies and that some were better than others. He writes, it looks like cryptocurrencies may become the foundation of a more just and transparent financial system. Any update on cryptos would be appreciated, he writes.
Okay. I can't – well, I can, but I'm not going to suggest one currency or another simply okay. because I don't – I'm not paid by these people. I wouldn't want to do that, because then I would become part of the system. Sure. What I can say is that cryptos offer the, because this question is a wider question, they offer a real foundation for a change. The difficulty is that many people who have billionaires, multi-billionaires, have moved in to control it. People like Musk and many of the others are right. buying not the currency, but the system that operates them. So my question would be, how can cryptocurrencies be the real dawn if the same people who have managed and controlled the economy are now managing and controlling the framework within which blockchain and cryptos are based? So it cannot offer any alternative while the control system remains the same. I have no doubt that the most Western governments want to move people off cash, and indeed move them off the traditional plastic card and move them onto the crypto-based system with a chip or an implant in their body. That is the way that they want to move it, simply because not only can they control the individual through his or her own bank account, but they can access trillions and trillions of dollars and in real time move money around in a way that they still can't now. What happens now, I don't want to go on too long, Ted, but what happens now at the moment is that when banks close, let's say they close at 5:30, 6 o'clock, about 10 o'clock in the evening, they have cleared whatever they need to clear. And then between 10 o'clock at night mm-hmm. and 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock the following morning, those banks are public doesn't understand this, those banks are trading with each other and they are doing deals and shifting their debt from one bank to the next bank. Now, if you had cryptos and if you had the human race implanted and each person's bank account was not held by a bank but held on that currency, that chip, mm-hmm. you could then do this during the day, not at close of business. And that's what the banks are seeking, to be able to do all of these transactions. You can still go to the machine and get your money out of the machine during the day, but the banks could be wheeling and dealing, not just between the hours of 10 o'clock at night and 5 a.m., but throughout the whole day. So the move to cryptos is not about setting humanity free. It's about another opportunity for the same old faces to make more money.
Well, I guess that leads me to my next question. There's several different ways we could go on this. And my galactic friends off planet tell me that Earth is unique in the sense that we have it's the only one, the only human planet in this universe that uses money the way in this fashion on this planet, because every other benevolent civilization outside of Earth that's human doesn't use money. I don't know what system, but they don't use money like we've got here. And money actually was created by the negative forces, by the reptilians many, many millennia ago, and it's used as a control mechanism for people.
Yes. The need for money is simply because the human race has not been given a viable alternative. Mm-hmm. When you grow up, you're 3, 4, 5 years of age, you very quickly learn that if you go to the candy shop, right. you can't walk out legally with candy unless you give these coins or these paper notes or something or other. And so from a very early age, the human race is not brainwashed, that's not the right word, but it is trained to understand that money is the only medium that buys, but also to train the human race that nothing is free, that you should be expected to pay for everything. So this is an attack on love, because you see, love shouldn't have a promise to it. But by introducing money, you are challenging the concept of love, because you are saying nothing's free. You've got to pay for it. But in relationships, we should learn that if we give, we shouldn't expect in return. But that is absolutely at odds with what happens on the sidewalk. So you've taken, not you personally, but the system has taken humanity and given it one value for the corporate world and another value for its family. Well, no wonder the human race is screwed up, because it's got one life in its house and another life in its workplace. And we shouldn't have this. We should have one value, which is love. And these are the problems that the human race has got to face in the next 5 years.
Well, I have great confidence in the human race and humanity to tackle these problems head on. And I know that we all are transforming, especially with the huge amount of increases in the vibration of the planet. And it's turning the planet itself, Simon. I look at it turning from a planet based on service to self, of which money's a part, to a planet based on love and service to others. So I look at that change happening now. And I know it's hard to see it. I think the current banking system is an old system based on service to self. That long term is not going to last. And I know it's going to be eventually be replaced with a better system. So,
and that's why I'm saying 5 years. So it's 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So I'm saying within the next 5 years, the wagon's going to lose its wheels, basically.
Right. You're so funny. I think you're right. I have to ask you, how's your friend Win Keach doing on his alternative system?
Yes, I haven't spoken to him for simply ages. Mm-hmm. We were working on a project together, mm-hmm. and there was mm-hmm. a spiritual businessman that I had actually introduced. Win and I were working, trying to get an alternative barter trade system up and running, and he hadn't any success in getting any funders in at all. He'd been at it for 2 years and hadn't been able to bring in bring in a dime. So I thought, well, I've got to have to do this myself and try and find a funder, which I did. And I introduced the funder to Winkeach, and the funder paid for and flew Win out to his country twice, I think. The funder's not here in Britain. And a deal was struck between them. I wasn't part of that. My job was just to bring those two together. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the deal went sour. And whatever was supposed to have happened between the two of them didn't. And it put me in a rather difficult position, because I had introduced the businessman to Winkeach. I'm very fortunate that the businessman said to me that he didn't blame me for what had occurred. He wasn't holding me responsible. So I haven't spoken to Win now for about 6 months.
Well, I wish him well, and I hope that everything gets back on track for him. You know, it's difficult here on this planet to make any positive changes, but I wish him well, and I hope he can get his project resurrected. It sounds like a great project. He was going to make up an alternative exchange system, one that was based on justice and fairness. But I wish him well, and I hope he can get it back on track. I have a question from Anita in Ireland. She writes, I imagine that the cabal are terrified about the scientific advances being made in an amazing center founded by Nassim Harriman. Nassim's a very interesting fellow. He's a physicist. I met him last year in Los Angeles. What do you think of his work, Simon?
Yes, I know that's the question, but we mustn't forget there are other people as well.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
This time in human consciousness, there are people breaking out everywhere, inventing stuff, bringing stuff forward.
Right.
The question is absolutely correct. And what the system is trying to do is to buy people off. It tries to buy them off. It tries to box them in. It makes phone calls and says to people, don't work with that person. Don't give them any money. Don't do this. Don't do that. It tries to control them. And they're doing that because they are terrified. They're terrified because compared to 10 years ago, you probably had one or two people who were A, gifted enough, and B, brave enough to do this. Now you've got hundreds of people who are gifted enough and are brave enough. And the bad guys just cannot keep a handle on it. And this is just going to proliferate more and more and more until the dam bursts. So, there are loads of people now over the planet, young and old, who are coming up with ideas which they're not new. They've been rediscovered. They're many thousands of years old, but they're new to this age. They're new to the age of this time frame. They're going to get out. They're going to happen. They're going to get out. Somebody's going to be brave enough to fund some of these projects. And once that happens, then that's it. The world will be different.
Wonderful. What words of wisdom, Simon? We've got about 9 minutes left, and this is a question that I got last week, it's from Anaz in Germany. It's a long email, but I'll boil it down to kind of a synopsis. He writes, I've seen the day when the Earth will change and shift to the other dimensions, which will be brought by a massive amount of gravity on Earth. This gravity will cause a lot of suffering in people, but it will also, change our world to a better place. He said that he's talked to Soros and seen how living conditions on Earth will turn into a new environment. I think we've talked about that a little bit. I know that we've talked about how things are shifting and the dimensions are getting much higher.
Right. I just want to just clarify that because I hear what the person's saying and I totally agree with them, but I just want to change the phraseology of it because that could lead to fear. When that's not the case here, he's absolutely right. The key is gravity. It's electromagnetic energy. It's gravity. Gravity is going to play a very big part in the shift. But I'm not going to say there's going to be pain and suffering. What's going to happen is there will be an emotional readjustment, as those people who are not yet ready to make that advancement will have to decide they will stay in their own energy field, their own third dimensional reality, and they will be afflicted by a great loss. But there will be those who are going to transcend and move up, and they won't have such a great loss. You know, when a loved one passes, it is the people left behind who feel bad. It's the people left behind who walk around saying, oh, I miss my uncle or I miss my auntie. The person who's transcended pats them on the shoulder and says, don't feel sad for me. I've gone to a better place. And that's exactly what's going to happen. It will be the people left behind who will feel a great loss. And those who make the transition will say, I've done it. I'm going forward. That's where I'm going. And so we mustn't focus on pain and suffering. What we've got to focus on is success and love.
Well, Simon, those are such profound words of wisdom, and that's why I always love talking to you, and I know that my listeners around the world are really enjoying hearing what you have to say tonight. And actually, it's the same message I got from my dad, who passed on to a higher dimension. He's now an ascended master. He passed away in March of 1999, and I talked to him after he passed as a psychic, and he said, Ted, you know, if I'd known it was this nice on the other side, I would have left earlier. But he wanted to make it. Said, no bills, no phone bills, no electricity bills. But, you know, it's a different world. But, of course, he said, this is great. You know, he's seen friends and family. And one thing I want to make very clear, I'm not advocating everybody, you know, pass on just so they can go on to a higher spiritual plane. But I am saying that I guess the message here is that we are all souls in a physical body to experience lessons here on the planet Earth. And just kind of realize that this is just a temporary existence. And for those when you pass on, please know that everyone has a purpose for being here, and we're all kind of learning as we go. But everyone has a purpose, and so it's important to note that life goes on after you pass on. That's why it's interesting that there's no such thing as death. Death. That's what the spirits always tell me. That there's always, it's never the end of everything. We all continue. Even if we're in a different dimension, we're still there.
I think that's the thing that's so hard for universities or high schools to teach, not because they don't understand the concept, but because to teach it would be to free people, to empower people. And at the moment, there are a number of those in control who don't want to empower people. Ted, we're top of the hour. It's been, as always, an absolute pleasure to talk to you and your wonderful audience, whether they be in Canada or the US or Australia, who cares? We're all part of the same family. So listen, God bless to you.
Thank you so much, Simon. Have a beautiful evening, and I appreciate you coming on today so much. It's been such a joy. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Yes, God bless. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Mike. Bye-bye, Simon. Bye. Well, we've got – bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Simon comes on my show at the first and third Fridays of every month, and so he'll be coming on either – we kind of a little bit off schedule because last week's audio quality was poor, but no matter. So he'll be either on the coming Friday or the Friday after that. And I wanted to tell you that we will be having some very famous people coming on, new guests who haven't been on my show before. I don't want to say too much about them, but I know if you can be listening next week and the week after, you'll immediately recognize them. And I guarantee the program will be truly out of this world. With that, I was going to play this theme music at the beginning of the hour, but Simon just left now. And so, Eric, if you could please play the Twilight Zone, and then I'll come back, and then we'll be on back on the air here in a few more minutes for my next guest, Carol Noonan. She's coming to us live from Portsmouth, New England. She's been a Pleiadian contact for many decades, and she has many beautiful messages from the Pleiadians for us tonight. So if you could play the Twilight Zone, Eric, and then we'll come back.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.